here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend, and it's beautiful out there, but if you can settle back inside your house or someplace near a radio, feel free to join us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we are encouraging your participation. It's very, very important. It's just two of us tonight in the studio, so I want you to feel free to give us as many questions and calls as possible. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134, or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number. That is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and maybe Shakespeare and poetry. I don't know. Whatever Lori was dragged in his spare time. Anyway, so just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER. That's mindsovermatter, all one word, at yahoo.com. Feel free to email us any old time. We don't read them generally. We don't read them during the show, but they all get read. So feel free to email us and let me know if you have a comment or a question for the show. If you'd like to hear this show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world at kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast of the show, Debbie is here. One for the last weekend, for a little while anyway. And, of course, we welcome that. And she does her usual fine job with the podcast. And that will be available soon after the show tonight at kalw.org. Okay, all that being said, we will start with a round of introductions. Just to remind you again, you know, we can take probably a few more calls than usual tonight. So line them up and we'll get you on the air as soon as we can. Okay. 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Here we go for the intro. Once again, wait a minute. One was crossed out. No, okay. This is the second draft.
You have to kill time so you can read them both.
No, that's okay. That's right. Once again, Lori Fisher was surprised to learn that, at least according to Time magazine, he is not one of the 100 most influential people in the world. Well, it's only a matter of time. The fact that Emma Stone, Ryan Reynolds, Margot Robbie, and Demi Lovato are on the list makes him feel slightly better.
Yeah, and they all were on the list.
Demi Lovato was on the list.
She was, yeah. I'm not saying she's undeserving for all the Demi Lovato fans out there, but you never know.
There's not much crossover in the show.
Well, I don't know how... It's true. I don't know how influential she is, more than I thought. And according to our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, the Minds Over Matter Armada is steaming towards North Korea by way of Singapore,
that's
of course.
Right. According to government sources. Yes. Anyway, so we will start with Lori Fisher tonight.
Sort of a round of questions.
That's right.
All right. So I was reading about John F. Kennedy's inauguration for reasons that are too obscure to mention, which was January 19, 1961. And it was not anything like Donald Trump's inauguration. So I have some questions about that.
You mean there was a big crowd?
Only the invitees. These were the actual formal celebrations.
All right.
So it was organized by Frank Sinatra, as you might know. And then these are the other questions I have go with it. The official producers were Frank Sinatra and one other entertainer. Who was it? Second question is there were five writers given credit. One of them was an Oscar-winning actor, not a writer. So who was that? Two married couples performed at the inauguration who were currently married then. Who were they? Sammy Davis Jr. was invited and then disinvited. How come?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then who performed the Star Spangled Banner? So I'm asking who co-produced it with Frank Sinatra? What Oscar-winning best actor was one of the five credited writers? Two married couples performed. Who were they? Sammy Davis Jr. was disinvited. How come? And who performed the Star Spangled Banner? I'll let you knock off two of them before we turn it over to the audience.
Well, all right. Was one of the married couples Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet?
No.
I don't know why.
I don't know if they were big enough in 61 or part of the Rat Pack, but
maybe you're right.
No.
All right. Was Milton Berle one of the producers.
He was not.
I know he was at the inaugural. He did perform.
The list of celebrities who performed
it's
is long.
Impressive.
It's impressive. Yeah, so I culled these out, and Milton Berle did not
Peter
co-produce
Lawford.
It is.
Oh, is it Peter Lawford?
Okay. Peter Lawford co-produced it.
All right. That's
and he was one of the main ends to the Kennedy family, of course, because he was, what, brother-in-law?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was married to Eunice?
Yes.
Or Pat. Pat.
Pat.
Pat.
Okay, so that's one of them. Peter Lawford.
Right. What were the other questions?
Which Oscar-winning Best Actor was one of the five credited writers? This is a big surprise. Right. Two married couples performed, so who were they? Both really well-known as married couples and really successful. Sammy Davis Jr. was invited and then disinvited. How come? And who performed the Star-Spangled Banner?
Is it because Sammy Davis Jr. married the Swedish girl?
May Britt. He was in an interracial marriage,
right,
and they thought it was not the right time to make that be the focus of the inauguration.
Okay.
And
all
really
right.
said Sammy Davis was brokenhearted because he and Sinatra were such good friends.
Right.
Okay. So that leaves three questions out there. So very nice.
All right. Let me do a couple questions here, too. Baskin-Robbins has made only one vegetable-flavored ice cream ever. What was it? What was the flavor?
What was the vegetable, huh?
No, what was the flavor? That's what I'm asking.
Okay. And is the name of the vegetable in the...
Not necessarily.
Is it one of their funny names, like Cherry Garcia, one of those kind of things?
No, that's not Baskin-Robbins.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
so Baskin-Robbins has made one vegetable flavor. What was the name of the flavor?
Right. Yeah.
I might look for help from the studio audience tonight on that one. Okay. Well, I can't just guess the vegetable. I have to get the name of the thing.
Yeah.
So tomato sorbet.
No.
Okay.
No. So again, Baskin-Robbins has made only one vegetable flavored ice cream. What was it called?
Okay, and you're not telling whether the name of the vegetable was
in
the thing.
I'm not saying.
All right.
And secondly, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, the researchers at the Oxford English Dictionary, they have a list of the five oldest known English words. What are they? What are the five, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, what are the five oldest known English words?
And are they still around in the English language?
Very much so.
Okay, so how about man?
No.
Okay. How about God?
No.
I'm going to guess five, okay, because I won't get any right.
Yeah, no,
okay,
that's fine.
Well, how about tomato?
No.
not tomato. Okay, how about the? Should we go something that's
no.
that basic? Okay.
Mm-mm.
This is going to be a good one to leave out there for the listening studio audience. All right. Would you say that it's going to be pretty obvious? Does Debbie have one?
Wait a minute. The vegetable is not the name of the ice cream. But
I was going to say pumpkin pie.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Oh.
That's a good guess, though.
Okay.
I like that.
Well, certainly they made a pumpkin pie. Yeah. But that's not the name. Okay.
No.
All right. We're still looking for the OED. How about food?
No.
Okay.
All right.
I struck out here.
No. So again, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, what are the five oldest English words known?
Here's a question.
Yes.
Are you saying they're from Old English or Anglo-Saxon or in modern English, or is it a moot point?
This is as far back as they could trace the
English language.
Yes.
Okay. So that's Old
so
English.
These are the oldest words they could find.
Okay. How about pig?
No.
Okay. All right, and I'm going for the vegetable ice cream, carrot cake ice cream.
No.
All right.
That's a pretty good guess.
Yeah,
but
it's from the audience.
Yeah, but no.
All right.
Again, the other question was, Baskin-Robbins has made only one vegetable-flavored ice cream. What was it called? And it was not a success, by the way. Although if you go online, and I went online and did a little research on it, there are recipes dealing with this.
With this ice cream?
Yes. So they're around, and some people like it.
Eggplant surprise.
No.
Okay. I'm stretching here.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You're from Hayward?
Hi, Gareth.
Hey, I got What was the answer to that question? Who co-produced Kennedy's inauguration?
It was Frank Sinatra with Peter Lawford.
Yeah, I got a question related to the inauguration. What editor publisher was invited to the inauguration with his girlfriend?
To Kennedy's?
No.
Oh.
I'll give you a clue. He's the editor publisher. He's 90 years old. His magazine was slightly overhauled about 2 years ago.
Oh, you mean Hugh Hefner?
Yes.
Which inauguration are we talking about?
The Kennedy inauguration.
Oh, it was. Pretty cool. Okay. That's good. I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's the 90 years old that gave it away.
Yeah. Here's my second question. Yes. Which two stars of Peyton Place, this is before the show went on the air, appeared in back-to-back episodes of Leaving the Beaver?
You mean Peyton Place, not the movie, the TV show?
No, the television series. This is before, a couple of years before the television series. Which two stars of the television series appeared on back-to-back episodes of Leave It to Beaver?
Was it Mia Farrow? Wasn't she on it? Mia Farrow?
What?
Mia Farrow.
No.
No.
I don't think it was Dorothy Malone. I don't think she was ever on Leave It to Beaver.
No.
So I would have liked to have seen that. Let's see.
I'll give you a clue. One of them was the father of an Oscar-winning actress.
One of them was the father of an Oscar-winning actress.
Henry Fonda, huh?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I just don't know enough about Peyton. I don't remember really Peyton Place. It's not one of the things I ever watched.
Yeah, me neither.
I was too busy watching Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, Garrick.
You don't know? Ryan O'Neill and Barbara Parkins.
Okay.
Really?
All right.
Yeah, Barbara Parkins, she played the Beaver babysitter, and Brian O'Neill played a friend of Wally's in the episode before that.
Probably Eddie Haskell had something to do with that,
yeah,
too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
How are things going tonight?
Good, thanks. I have a movie question coming up later you might listen for.
Well, good. Okay, I've got a movie question for you, too.
Okay, good.
But let me take a crack at a couple, or at one of them anyway, the performers for JFK.
Mm-hmm.
My first guess was going to be Stephen Eady as well, so that's already out. How about, and this is, you said performer, not necessarily singer, so then I'm guessing maybe Jerry Stiller and Ann Mira?
That's a really good guess.
That is a good guess.
And it's not correct.
Okay. Sonny and Cher?
Not Sonny and Cher. Too hippie-ish, probably.
Yes.
Oh, it's 60? Too soon.
Yeah.
I think it was too early for them, but Johnny and June Carter Cash?
No, none of those. Yeah,
I'm not sure they were together yet by then.
61, so I'm not either.
More of an Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne kind of crowd, I think.
Okay. well, that's it for my guesses, so
right.
I will pack it in and listen to the rest of the show. Let me ask you my question here.
Right.
This is about Best Actor Academy Awards, and it's about tying the actors to their time period. Can you tell me which actor or actors, in some cases there are ties, which actor was nominated most often for Best Actor during each decade?
Oh, you mean, but they're all different actors, but you're just...
Going by decade, and there are no repeats, exactly, but going by decade, who was nominated the most in the 30s, in the 40s, in the 50s? I'll take away the current decade of the 2010s, mainly because there are four of them all tied at two.
All right.
Bradley Cooper, Denzel Washington, Eddie Redmayne, and Leo DiCaprio... all tied at two for this decade.
Well, I can try a little bit, but tell me how many nominations we're talking about for each decade, if you don't mind.
It's three, four, and in one decade in the 50s, the leader had five.
So the 30s is three, or are we talking about the 30s or not the 20s?
I don't have anybody in the 20s, so it starts in the 30s and goes forward.
So are you talking about some, because for instance, some people were, like Chevalier was nominated twice in the same year. So are we talking about, are you counting both of those, for instance, or?
He's not on my list, so if he counted, someone else beat him out.
Well, how about spread over the decade, maybe, let's see.
And the problem here is that it's within the decade. So from, 1960 through 69. So there were people who were nominated like from 65 to 75, but that would cut their numbers within the decade.
Right. How about Spencer Tracy in the 30s? He's nominated in 36, 37, and 38.
Spencer's not on the list, nope.
Oh, so somebody more than three times?
Right.
Wow. In the 30s.
In the 30s.
I was going to say...
In the 30s, the leader had four.
Paul Muni?
In the 40s, the leader had four.
Paul Muni?
Paul Muni had the most nominations in the 30s.
Okay, all right.
Is Frederick March on the list?
I don't have Frederick March.
Okay. And so, okay, Paul Muni's for the 30s, and then the 40s. Let me think. The man who would be nominated the most. How about Gregory Peck?
Gregory Peck is the leader in the 40s.
All right.
Oh, that's good.
Four. Okay.
That seems early to me.
Me too.
Well, no, I remember the Keys of the Kingdom, Gentleman's Agreement, maybe. What else? Maybe Spellbound, maybe? I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But, okay.
How about the 50s, Brando?
Brando was the 50s.
That's good.
He had five nominations.
Wow.
60s.
How many nominations in the 60s? You want to tell us? That number helps a little.
Yeah. In the 60s and in the 70s, the leaders had four nominations, and there were ties in each decade. So you had two actors in the 60s and two in the 70s who were each nominated four times.
60s. Oh, boy.
And in the 60s, they're both very, very 60s-ish kind of people. I think I'm very tied to the 60s.
How about Paul Newman?
No.
No? No. And how about Dustin Hoffman in the 70s?
Hoffman did not make it. He's one of those people that kind of crossed over the boundary.
Yeah, too many decades.
60s and the 70s.
Yeah.
60s. Well, why don't we leave the 60s and the 70s out for people? And then
and 80s, 90s, and 2000s. And
80s, 90s. Well, he's not asking the 2000s.
No, so, he's not asking the 2010s.
You, oh,
right?
2010s.
You want the 2000s, right?
Right? I've got him up through the 2000s.
Yeah.
And
so we should give him to Debbie.
There are two actors in each decade tied.
Okay.
Each of these.
So leave the other decades out and then give the repeat the question, and then we'll put you on hold and you can give the answers to Debbie.
All right. The All right. question is, which actor, or now we're talking actors because each decade has a two-way tie, which actors were nominated for Best Actor the most often in each decade? And we need the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
And can we stress that this doesn't necessarily mean they won, right?
This does not mean they won. This is the most nominations.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ed.
Sure.
Put you on hold. Come on.
Complicated.
And Lori, I think it's your turn.
All right. I got a couple of musical questions.
All right.
I was saving different ones for Josh, but these are in, one of these is not in your wheelhouse, but somebody will jump all over this.
You never know.
Okay. So I've been reading I'm reading the book on Altamont, and then it's just been gone up a lot. So
now
Dana already rolled his eyes. So three groups performed at both Woodstock and Altamont. Who were they?
Well, I know it wasn't the Rolling Stones.
Correct.
It
was not. They weren't at Woodstock. No, they weren't.
They were at Woodstock? Were you there? Were you one of the 5 million people who say they were there?
No, we're agreeing. It was not the Rolling Stones.
Not the Rolling Stones. Okay. And, okay.
And let me give you the other question, too.
Yeah,
this
ahead.
Is more in
go
your
ahead,
wheelhouse. So I was reading about Stephen Sondheim's book about all of his lyrics. It's kind of a memoir talking about his lyrics.
Right.
And we had seen Into the Woods not long ago, so I read the chapter on that. And interestingly, he and James Lapine were searching around for a musical based on something people would know well. Ultimately, that became Fairy Tales.
Right.
But before that, they came up with an idea of things that people would know well. And I'll give you a clue. It was TV characters. Okay, so which types of TV characters and which specific TV characters was he going to incorporate it wasn't going to be Into the Woods then. It was going to be kind of twisting around what people expected from characters.
It's not Gilligan's Island to Leave It to Beaver, is it?
It's not, but being that kind of outrageous you aren't going down a completely wrong path by doing that. The premise is outrageous, but he was going to be playing with characters.
Okay.
So the two questions are, which three groups played at both Woodstock and Altamont? And then in Sondheim's original conception of Into the Woods, before they came up with doing Fairy Tales, they were going to be doing TV characters. So there are certain types of TV characters. That was one. And then which specific ones did he mention in his book about writing that show?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Excuse me. I don't remember the exact question, but there's something about the inauguration and the writers.
Yes.
Was one of the writers Robert Frost?
No. He did the inaugural poem at the inauguration, but this was at the celebration at the party. And Frank Sinatra and Peter Lawford got their buddies together to write this very elaborate show, and one of the writers had won the Academy Award for Best Actor sometime in his career before this. Who was it?
Oh, before?
Yeah, it was way before.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Okay, how about regarding the oldest words, how about I?
I is one of them, yes. Yeah. Very good.
And I don't think that was that great, but I think that's pretty common. But anyway, for the 70s, the most nominated actors, how about De Niro?
70s, no.
How about Pacino?
Yes, correct. That's one of them.
And I know I'm right about this one, about Altamont and Woodstock. The two bands who played were Jefferson Airplane and The Grateful Dead.
Jefferson Airplane, yes. The Grateful Dead, according to the book, didn't actually play. They pulled out. They were supposed to play at Altamont, and they didn't. So unless that was one of the things that surprised me, because they were scheduled to play, and then they got nervous because of the crowds. So somebody could call in who was probably there and correct it, but the Jefferson Airplane is definitely correct.
Okay. Here's the one that's probably easy. Regarding Woodstock, what 50s band played at Woodstock that you would not, normally think would be playing at that type of festival?
Sha-na-na.
Sha-na-na.
Yeah.
Was the act before Jimi Hendrix that closed the show.
Yeah.
They were that big that they were the second to last act. I think that's remarkable. It's a great question.
Okay, that's all for me.
Thank you.
So
bye-bye.
On the OED, since he said I, how about he?
No.
We?
No.
You?
No.
Thou?
No.
Are there any more pronouns on the list?
Possibly.
Oh, jeez. It?
No.
Gee. All right. Let's leave that out.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight, just the two of us, Lori Fisher, Professor Emeritus, Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Just to remind you of the numbers to join us here with a question or answer, those are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay. Well, I'll do a question here. All right, I came up with this today. We all know these movies. They all happen to be winners of the Best Picture Academy Award. But can you name the first four people in the cast of each of these movies listed in the cast?
You've done this sort of question before.
Sort of question before.
So this would be based on their star power at the time the movie came out.
Just how they're listed in the cast. Who are the first four people listed in the cast of each of these Best Picture Academy Award winners?
How many are there?
Four.
Okay.
How Green Was My Valley, The Life of Emile Zola, The Lost Weekend, and All the King's Men. So, again, these are all very well-known movies. Who are the first four people listed in the cast? How Green Was My Valley, number one. Number two, The Life of Emile Zola. Number three, The Lost Weekend. Number four, All the King's Men. So, I think we should do, Lori, is just pick out one, and if you want to try it for the four.
I've tried to find the one where I actually know four. I'm getting one or two on each one.
It's amazing how well-known the movies are, but you can't necessarily name the four biggest actors in them.
Yeah, I'm picturing three people in How Green Was My Valley.
You could try that.
Yeah, well, not yet, though. This is where I want my other panelists to be filling in time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. Uh-huh. That's very good. So I know... Well, Donald... I don't know him in order, because I don't know who the big...
All right,
so
yeah, you don't necessarily have to give
so
him
So Donald
order.
Crisp, Roddy McDowall... Oh, the lead man. Boy, I just have his picture in my mind. He's got black hair. He's real handsome. It's not Victor McLaughlin, right?
No.
Yeah. I'll come up with it. Are those two in the top four? Is Roddy McDowall in the top four?
No.
Okay. But Donald Crisp is.
Donald Crisp is.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the woman. What, was it Greer Garson? Was she in that?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm striking out on that. This is, I'll work on this.
All right. Let's do that.
Yeah, people call in.
So again, who are
don't look it up. Yeah.
First four people in the cast of these four Academy Award winning Best Pictures. Number one, How Green Was My Valley, The Life of Emile Zola, The Lost Weekend, and All the King's Men. You can get into me in order if you want, but you don't absolutely have to.
Let me try All the King's Men for a second.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Broderick Crawford, who won an Oscar. Mercedes McCambridge, who also won an Oscar, I think. Arthur Kennedy. Are they in the top four?
No.
Some of
them. Well, Broderick Crawford is, of course.
Mercedes McCambridge is not?
Not in the top four.
Oh, no. Wow.
Mm-mm. She wasn't a very well-known actress at the time. I mean, it's a good part, but
yeah.
She wasn't one of the top billed people.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
okay. You know her career better. And Arthur Kennedy. I thought he
wasn't even in it.
Who was the... Oh, okay.
Well, that's
the... Sterling...
not Sterling Hayden.
Yeah, no, not Sterling Hayden. Siliphant, you know...
No, he's a screenwriter.
I'm thinking of the guy who's the doctor. All right. I'm picturing people, yeah. Okay, but not Arthur Kennedy. Okay.
No. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, it makes me sad to make this call, but...
Uh-oh, what happened now?
The question about the five oldest English words...
Yes.
You got to know, that question doesn't make any sense, right? You know that, right?
I'm only going
there's
by...
There's some cheering in the audience for your response.
I mean, there's so many problems. There are so many problems with that question from a linguistics point of view. What do you mean by oldest? What do you mean by English? Are you referring to Anglo-Saxon?
I love our callers.
I found the article that you used as a source, I believe. And I got to tell you, again, from a linguistic point of view, I don't understand the process these guys use to determine it. It just doesn't make any sense to me, and I don't think it means anything. It's just they came up with some. You want me to read how they came up with this?
No, thanks.
It's the last thing you want.
Want me to read the part of the article to you?
All right,
or
go ahead.
Does it not matter? Anyway, I'll just put it this way. We know from general linguistics that the most stable parts of any language, the words that last the longest. In other words, like for instance, the words in English that we share the most with the other Germanic languages,
mm-hmm.
and also with the other Indo-European languages, are personal pronouns,
right.
Numbers, and familial relations. You know, mother, father, sister, brother. I, you, they. Personal pronouns, that kind of those are the in all languages. Those are the words that stay the stable the longest, and that seems to be what these guys came up with. I don't know what kind of logarithm they put in their supercomputer, but these things are kind. I mean, this is a very good example, actually, of how science. How the journalism misuses science issues, because they don't understand the science involved, so they just report whatever the press release these guys put out.
All right. I mean, I understand your point, but don't kill the messenger. I was just looking for a question. did you?
I would think you would understand. It's,
right.
It's,
no, I
it's
understand.
A meaningless question.
Right.
It's a totally meaningless question.
Okay. Unlike the other questions,
unlike
on
the other
show.
Questions yeah. we have on the show. Oh, wait, your
and,
point
and
is
a lot of, no. A lot of your questions are great.
Thank you.
And your
the movie questions. I mean, those are meaningful. They have actual answers.
Right.
The five oldest words in English doesn't have an answer.
All right. Your point is
not
taken.
A real. It has a made up answer, but not a real answer.
All right. Your point is taken. I agree.
Point.
Thank
well
you
taken.
Very much. And let's see. Where was I? Oh, next call. Hope that will be a little less rough. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi. I got an answer for the ice cream.
Oh, would you like to guess on the five holes? No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, please.
So following up on the previous caller, if Baskin Robbins would have been headquartered in Gilroy, I think it would have been the Stinking Rose.
Garlic. There is such a thing as garlic ice cream, I know.
Stinking Rose, he said. Stinking Rose ice cream.
But no, not that.
Excellent guess.
That's an excellent guess. And there is garlic ice cream, because I've seen it.
And garlic is one of the five oldest words in the English language?
Yeah, no. But no.
Okay.
No.
Right. But I think the Baskin flavor was ketchup.
You're absolutely right.
Really?
Ketchup ice cream, yes.
And that was the name of the ice cream?
That was the name of the ice cream, yes.
How'd you know? That's really impressive, yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, sir.
And
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
And do we mind that tomatoes, I think, are technically a fruit and not a vegetable? We're not going
to
go there.
To them.
Yeah.
It's both,
yeah.
Supposedly.
That's okay.
But it's... So let's see. I think it is your turn. I believe it's your turn.
It is.
Yeah, because I
all
just
right.
did the.
Right, well, I have a handout for those here.
Uh oh.
Okay. So this is
all that work.
This is related to actually an article that Sue Schweik saw in Ladies Home Journal in 1940. We should have brought her for you.
That's
Dana.
When you saw the article in 1940?
Well, we saw it yesterday. So Sue was reading for one thing, but it had an article about a guy who was a super trivia guy on a radio show making $13,000 a year, and they had some sample questions, and they were hard. One was giving the second verse to famous poems, and to get the question right, you had to get the poem, the poet, and recite the entire first verse.
And I do this for free, and look at all the grief I get.
You do. So I've made a version of this. I've taken a famous line.
Yeah.
I think all these lines are really famous.
Right.
So I want to know the poet, the title, and if you know the first line, that's how you get the full credit for it. They all have pretty famous first lines, and they're all well-known poems.
Oh.
So here are the six lines. Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. That's number one. Mm-hmm. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use. That's number two. The facts were told not to speak and were taken away. The facts, surprised to be taken, were silent. Number four, as things fall apart, the center cannot hold. Number five is this is the way the world ends, not with a bang but a whimper. And the last one is, similar to one Kira asked, I know why the cage bird sings, ah, me. So I'm looking for the name of the poet, the title of the poem, and then the hard part is, what's the first line, or if you know the first two lines?
Well, I know some of the poets.
Go ahead.
This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a whimper. That's Eliot.
It is. Remember
and
the poem?
Things... I'll get to it in a second.
Okay.
Things fall apart, the center cannot hold. That's Yeats, isn't it?
It is.
And I know why the cage bird sings. That's Maya Angelou?
It's not.
It is...
We had a corrective of it when Kira asked.
Zora Neale Hurston?
It's not.
Okay, I have to work on that.
Okay.
All right.
So we're looking for, on these poems, you have Things Fall Apart, the Center Will Not Hold. You got that it's Yeats. Would like to know the poem in the first line. This is the way the world ends, not with
that's
a bang,
the,
but with a whimper. It's
right.
Eliot. And the poem.
It's not Byzantium. It's Sailing to Byzantium.
It's not Sailing to Byzantium. Okay. And then the Eliot poem. And then the other lines are Maybe It Just Sags Like a Heavy Load. Number one, I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use. The third one is pretty contemporary. The facts were told not to speak and were taken away. The facts surprised to be taken were silent. You got the four and five. And the last one is I know why the cage bird sings on me and it's not my angel.
All right. And let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. What do you have?
So on the JFK's inauguration party, produced by Frank Sinatra and Peter Lawford, in which Sammy Davis Jr. was disinvited because of his interracial marriage, the unanswered questions are, which two married couples perform? Which Oscar-winning best actor who had won the Oscar before that, more than 10 years before that, that's a little bit of a hint, was one of the five credited writers, and who performed the national anthem? We're looking for who performed at Woodstock and Altamont, and the caller called in with Jefferson Airplane and Grateful Dead, which I think isn't right, but I might stand corrected. There's two other groups. And then Stephen Sondheim's original idea for Into the Woods was it to be based on TV characters. Which types of TV characters? So that would generic types. And then which specific characters was he going to integrate into the play? And then I just asked my poetry question.
Was it a black woman that sang the national anthem?
Say it again?
Was it a black woman that sang
it? It was.
Was it Sarah Vaughan?
It was not.
Or Nina Simone?
Not Nina Simone.
Oh, Marian Anderson.
Not Marian Anderson.
Aretha Franklin.
Not Aretha.
I didn't think so.
I think 61 would be early for
too
Aretha.
Early.
This person really well known. As well known as the people you're saying.
But a pop singer.
I didn't say that.
Oh, then Leontine Price.
No.
Okay.
But you'll know it. It'll
all
be
right.
One of those like, oh, and it makes sense.
You have that actor question, too.
That's right.
Oh, the actor question.
Yeah, which actors were nominated for Best Actor the most times in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s?
Okay.
And so we got Al Pacino in the 70s, but there's other, somebody
yeah,
else, right?
Yeah, the, each one of the, there's two for each of these categories.
Okay. And I give you a list of four winners of the Best Picture Academy Award, and I asked you to name, if possible, in order, but they don't have to be, the first four people listed in the cast. Okay. So the ones that we have are How Green Was My Valley, The Life of Emile Zola, The Lost Weekend, and All the King's Men. So who are the first four people listed in the cast of each of those movies? And at the risk of my life, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, there was an article that listed the four or the five oldest English words. So far we have I that are known. Now, of course, there's a lot of dispute
it's
about
disputed,
this.
Yes.
Disputed, but I'll leave it out in case anybody wants to guess at it. And because I'm in a radio studio, they can't come and get me. And I'll give you, excuse me, one other question, so I think it's my turn anyway. Which famous author had the same first name as his wife?
And is his wife famous?
No. Well, not that I know of, anyway. Which famous author had the same first name as his wife?
And I'll ask this. You probably won't tell me. Given that your name is Dana and my name is Lori, are there names like that that kind of are common for both males and females?
Conceivably.
All right.
Crossover sort of thing.
Yeah, or a name that just isn't anchored to one.
Right.
So it wouldn't be. It's more
like
likely
Carol.
To be.
Yeah.
Right. Or Chris.
Or Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sydney.
Yeah. Ernest.
Yeah. Madison.
All right, so this is... can I ask if it's American?
You can ask.
Is it American?
You can ask.
Well,
no, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
It's quite a famous author, though.
Okay.
Okay. So which famous author had the same first name as his wife? So,
okay.
I mean, his
on.
Wife might have had a mannish name.
No, that's what I'm trying to...
Like Joe.
I don't know... Most authors' wife's first name.
I'm
slightly embarrassed.
Okay.
I'm much more embarrassed about not knowing the cast of How Green Was My Valley.
Wow, that's well you should be.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Seed. How are you?
Good.
So I had the ketchup flavor for,
good for you.
Baskin Robbins, but the guy got it before me,
sorry.
Which is okay. Actually, you know, ketchup in the 1800s was used as a medicine.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, you know that. I asked about that before.
Right.
Okay, I asked a question before, but just for fun, was what happened the last couple of days may bring that up too. Which the only country mentioned in the Bible, Old and New Testament?
Which?
The only country mentioned.
Lonely country? You mean?
Yeah, the only country.
Only country.
The only country.
Is mentioned in which?
In the Bible, New and Old Testament.
Egypt.
Yes. No. One time, somebody mentioned that Israel, well, at that time, Israel was a tribe, not really a nation.
Right.
Okay. In that regard, a potential world leader, grandmother, is full-blooded Egyptian. She was born in Alexandria. Lived all of her life until her death in Cairo. Which one?
So, a world leader whose grandmother was full-blooded Egyptian.
Yeah, she is not quite world leader yet.
Not quite.
Oops, I give you a little hints.
So, she could become
she may become a world leader. On May 7th.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, a Marie Le Pen?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. She had the news conference last week, and she announced that question. It was very nice. For last week, you know, the Easter holiday has been celebrated by people in Europe and the Middle East for thousands of years. For this caller who came and said 1882, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But thank you, great show, and keep going.
Thank you.
Have
Bye-bye.
A good day. Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. Happy Earth Weekend.
Thank you.
I think the Earth deserves the whole weekend, don't you?
I just had a lot of dirt shoveled on me, so...
The Earth deserves the day off, actually.
Yeah. Absolutely. Of the married couples that performed at the Kennedy inauguration...
Yeah.
Elaine May and Mike Nichols?
Oh. Such a good guess, but it's not
that. But they weren't married. But they weren't married. You would think they were, but they weren't.
And they didn't perform.
Yeah. How about Louis Prima and Keeley Smith?
That's a good guess.
And
that's
that is correct.
Oh,
give
good for you. Glad you got
down.
That.
How about Cleo Lane and John Dankworth?
You know, it's not them. Were they big that early in 60, 61? That seems
sure.
early
Maybe.
For them.
It's
yeah,
possible.
But they weren't. That's not them.
All right.
So there's one more?
Yeah, there's one more couple, very famous.
Okay, I've got a question that is going to make everyone feel really, really old. Tomorrow, the 24th, one of the most famous women on Earth turns 75 years old.
Uh-oh. Cher?
Not quite that old, but close.
By the way, she just turned off the radio if she's listening.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to be surprised that it's somebody that old, like Lindsay Lohan or somebody like
no,
that.
No, no.
Not Lindsay Lohan.
One of the most famous women on Earth, you say?
Yes.
Turned 75.
One of the extreme elite who's won every major show business award.
Liza Minnelli? No.
No.
No, not quite.
Oh, how about Barbara Streisand?
Yes.
Ah, good for you.
The one and only, there'll never be another.
Excellent.
That's true. That's good. I mean, congratulations, Barbara.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I just turned 65 myself, so...
Oh. You got a ways to go.
It's frightening.
Ah, well.
You're fine.
Not so bad.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call with a question or answer. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Laura, do you have something reasonably short?
Oh, short. You want short?
Well, you know.
Let's take a call and I'll find some short questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
Would
you like to guess the five oldest words in the English
language? Well,
I would guess mead.
What'd you say, mead? Mead?
Mead? No, not mead.
Well, it's the oldest thing I can think of.
Okay.
Did Ella Fitzgerald sing that national anthem?
Such a good guess and not correct.
Okay. I just wanted to address the thing. You were talking about the Gregory Peck movies, and you missed 12 O'Clock High.
Good job. Yes, thank you.
You know, I just want to remind you guys that Ronald Reagan said that the ketchup was a vegetable.
Oh,
yes,
he did. Thank you. And that's why I qualified on school lunches.
I always source out my questions.
Now, the Eliot poem is not Hollow Man, is it?
It is Hollow Man. That's correct. Do you remember the first line?
Oh, no.
We are the Hollow Men. We are the Stuffed Men. So, very good.
Great.
Yeah.
Now, these actors that got lots of nominations in the 80s, is it possibly Jack Nicholson?
Debbie's
on it?
We're
checking. We're looking.
In the 80s?
Jack Nicholson?
80s?
Not in the 80s.
70s?
70s.
Okay. And then I'm positive, but I'm not sure. for the 60s, would it be Peter O'Toole and Richard Burton?
That is
about
correct.
Both of them. Nice work.
Good job.
Okay. Now, this is a little more difficult. The Best Picture people?
Yes.
How Green Was My Valley? Walter Pidgeon?
Correct.
That's who it is. Thank you.
Maureen O'Hara?
That's right.
And did Sarah Allgood make it?
Not in the top four.
Okay. Zola, did you get Paul Muni?
That's the most difficult one. Paul Muni, yes. Of course, he's the star.
Joseph Schildkraut?
He's one of the four, yes.
Gail Sonnengad wasn't in there, was
she? Yes, she's one of the four. Wow. Very good. You got three out of four.
I don't think I can do it, but Robert Warwick?
No, the last one, I will give you a hint. It's the most difficult. It's the woman who played Dracula's daughter.
Maria Ouspenskaya.
No.
That should be correct, though.
She was a neighbor.
I'll tell you, because you got the other three, which was really good. Gloria Holden.
No, I wouldn't have got that.
All right.
Last Weekend, Ray Milland.
Right.
Jane Wyman.
Correct.
The only other name I can remember on the credits was Philip Terry.
Wow.
He's not in the top four.
Okay. And then you got Broderick Crawford.
Right.
For all the King's Men. You got John Ireland.
Uh-huh.
Was her name Joanna Drew?
Joanne Drew, very good.
And I wouldn't know of the fourth. But, you know, I am so happy with the number
you
of bells
did great.
I got. I think I'm going
give
up
bell them
up
more there. Yeah.
All right. Good job.
So do we have all four on any of them?
No.
Even with Donald,
well,
even
I gave
with
him
Donald Crisp added to How Green Was I Valley?
Yeah, no, you don't have the top four. No.
So we got Walter Pidgeon,
Marino O'Hara,
Donald Crisp,
and
not Roddy McDowell.
Not Roddy McDowell.
All right.
So, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah, for the actor most nominated for the 80s, I'm guessing William Hurt.
That's cool.
Very good. Good job.
Yeah, thank you. And I would encourage the audience to watch the 1955 Academy Award for Best Actor, because Bette Davis was the presenter, and she was wearing an outfit. It looked like she just stepped out of a 1950s cheesy sci-fi movie. I'm serious, like that outfit, this headdress. Anyway, then for the singer of the national anthem, would that be Mahalia Jackson?
That is correct.
Very good.
Oh, I'm so glad you got that. Yeah. She might be lost to most people, but she was a big star of that 50s and 60s.
Also, coincidentally, for the March on Washington, when they had a plan, if somebody, like, as Kennedy, Robert Kennedy said, if some commie got up there, started making an inflammatory speech, their plan was to cut off the mic and play Mahalia Jackson.
Oh.
Oh, excellent.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, Laurie, do you have your short question?
I do. This is on the Sondheim theme. Mm-hmm. So two Sondheim questions, both with easy answers, I think. I didn't know this, he won an Academy Award for writing the best song for what movie?
Dick Tracy.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was quick. Okay. He only wrote one campaign song in his life. Who was it for? And then I'll throw in this, since you got that so quickly. In 1952, when he was just out of college, he wrote a song that he was hoping was going to be played on a children's TV show. It didn't get played until they were doing they honored him years later. It's a very famous kids TV show, and the guy who ran the show sang the song that Sondheim had submitted just out of college.
Is it Howdy Doody?
It's not.
Is it not Captain Kangaroo? It's
not Captain Kangaroo.
Is it?
So 52 is really early TV.
The Video Rangers.
It's not the Video Rangers.
Huh. Okay.
So we're looking for a song he wrote for a TV show in 1952 and was performed in 1976 at a tribute for him by the guy who ran the TV show.
Oh.
The equivalent of the Jim Henson of that show, but it wasn't Jim Henson. And he wrote only one campaign song for someone he supported running for office. For whom did he write this song?
Was it Kukla, Fran, and Ollie?
It was. And Burr Tilster, remember that name?
Yeah,
sang
sure.
the song at a tribute and had kept the song somehow in his files and surprised Sondheim at this tribute to him, which I thought was really...
But Sondheim happy about that?
He was thrilled. Yeah, he writes quite movingly about his writing in college, even writing in high school,
right.
You know, being kind of a protege of Oscar Hammerstein. So he was very proud when Burr Tilstrom walked on the stage and sang the Kukla, Fran, and Ollie song. Okay, so we're looking still for that, and we still have that... the characters that he wrote, the TV characters for that became Into the Woods, and we're still looking for this one campaign song.
Campaign song, was this a big campaign? I mean, was this a national campaign?
I'm not going to say
local.
Like
it wasn't for student body president or something, was it?
No, it was a big politician for not a nationwide office. So more think.
Governor of New York?
Think more governor, senator, congressman, mayor, representatives. It'd be more of that ilk than president.
Did he write
vice president.
A campaign song for Robert Kennedy?
He did not.
When he ran for Senate?
No.
Okay.
But that's a good guess.
All
to
right.
think of the state he lived in.
Huh. All right. Howard Lowenstein?
I don't think he was that radical. Sondheim.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, how's everything going?
Oh, I don't know. Could be better.
Penis still
real. Yeah, you're getting ripped today, aren't you? I'll try some guesses on that alleged oldest English word.
All right.
That dubious category.
Yeah.
I'm with you on it, though. You qualified it. You said the Oxford English Dictionary, they consider it. So.
Yeah, right. That's a good
source.
That's
good to me. I'll say, how about mother?
No, none of the words. I'll try to give you a couple of hints here. None of the words are over five letters long. And,
okay, how about apple?
No.
The apple?
No, yeah. And they don't describe an object of any kind.
How about maybe?
No.
That'd be great.
Forget it. I have none of these.
All right.
Okay, are they verbs? Like am and is?
Possibly.
Okay. We've got 10 minutes left. Yeah. You toss us a bone here.
Yeah.
Oh, is about born?
No.
How about bone?
No.
Boon. Yeah. Let's see. Author and wife with the same name. It's a wild guess, but I'm going to guess Tolstoy.
No. That's a very interesting guess.
Both Leos.
Leos, yeah. Maybe they're an astrological sign. But maybe
Dostoevsky, his wife, Fyodor.
Right. But no. Sorry.
Let's see. The Sondheim premise for the musical, was that Nosy Neighbors?
No. It was. That wasn't one of the categories.
Hmm. Ah, shoot. And groups at Altamont and Woodstock. About Country Joe McDonald and the Fish?
Nope. Woodstock, nope. But not Altamont.
How about Wavy Gravy?
Not, I don't think Wavy Gravy counts as a musical group, maybe in his mind.
That's true. Good point. Oh, well, you said perform, so.
Okay, right. Well, I meant musical, so I stand corrected.
Maybe you said musical. I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't either.
The beer's taking effect. let's see. Best actor, writer, or no, the married couples that performed at JFK. How about Steve Allen and Jane
Meadows. Yeah. Meadows. Boy, that's a really good guess, but it wasn't them.
Ah, shoot.
Yeah.
And the writer for the inauguration, did somebody get that yet?
Not yet.
No. I can't really think of anybody.
Okay.
Abby Hayes? No.
He's not an Oscar winner. Otherwise, he's a big guess.
Oh, well, he should have been.
Yeah. All right.
And I don't have anything else. I've got one question, a movie question.
All right.
That I read earlier this week. They, in filming one of his movies, Humphrey Bogart was in an accident that smashed his teeth, and the director had another actor dub some of his lines, redub some of the lines in it. Who was the actor and what was the movie?
Was the actor in the same film?
No, the actor was not in the film, and the actor was not famous at the time.
But he could do a good Humphrey Bogart impression.
Yeah, apparently.
What was the movie?
Well, that's part of the question.
Oh, is that part of the question? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What? He smashed his teeth. God, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Sorry.
It was, let's see, it was, and I read that Roger Ebert considered this the first camp movie.
Oh, Beat the Devil?
Beat the Devil. Very good.
All right.
And the person who dubbed him is famous, too?
Yes. Yeah, famous. I became a famous actor later. Was an actor at the time, but not
54?
Not
is that about the year?
54.
1954. Is that the right year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And it wasn't a person who was an impressionist. It wasn't somebody like Rich Little.
No, it's not
Frank Gorshin.
No. Yeah, somebody who was known for doing different voices, but not necessarily impressions.
That's interesting.
Larry Storch. gosh, I don't know. I don't know.
Peter Sellers.
All right. That makes, yes. He did a lot of voices. Yes, that makes perfect
sense.
That's
a good question.
Yeah, it's a good question.
With a good answer.
Right. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm done. Bye.
Okay, bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
It's Kurt in San Francisco.
Hi, Kurt.
First, has anyone tried water for one of those old words?
No, it's not water.
Try it, though.
Try it, yeah, but no, it's not water. Sorry.
Okay, then I have a question.
Yes.
This is one of those Summer of Love questions.
Mm-hmm. You were there, right?
I think I was.
Yeah.
As I recall. there's been a lot of things written about the Monterey Pop Festival 50 years ago.
Right.
And all the groups that were there.
And of those groups, one group performed again at the same venue, Monterey, at the fairgrounds, that same summer, performed again. What was that group?
They performed 50 years ago, and then when else?
50 years ago, one of those groups that performed at the Pop Festival performed again at the Monterey Fairgrounds. What was that group?
So 50 years apart is what you're saying?
No, it performed the same summer.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Okay.
So the Pop Festival was in June, and one of the famous groups performed again in September. Who was it?
How about Big Brother and the Holding Company?
You got it. Very good. Give yourself a bell. Janis Joplin?
Yeah.
And I know I was there.
Oh, excellent.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very cool.
All right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
For the old English words, if they're not objects, it couldn't be beer.
No.
Or bread.
No.
How about titles? King?
No titles.
No titles. Okay. Titles. Well, I'll pass on that. Question.
Yes.
Which U.S. president said in a public speech that he was a jelly donut?
He was a jelly donut.
Did he mean that metaphorically?
Yeah,
or?
What context did he say that?
He wasn't speaking English.
Oh, Kennedy.
Yes.
That's right.
I'm a
Bismarck or not a Berliner.
Berliner.
I'm a Berliner.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Great. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it me?
It is you.
Oh, hey, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
Guess for the last married couple, Lucy and Desi?
Not Lucy and Desi.
I don't even know if they've just been divorced.
Yeah, I'm not sure they supported
Kennedy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, that's really sad that two people can't stay together. Anyway.
Especially in show business.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And a surprise.
I don't understand how that happened under Camelot. It wasn't supposed to happen. Right. Okay, poetry clean up. Maybe it sags like a heavy load is Langston Hughes, and the first line is, what happens to a dream deferred?
Yeah, do you know the title of the poem?
It's the title of the poem?
Yeah.
Oh, it's, so I always have to round it off of Raisin in the Sun because of the play.
It's Harlem. That's the name of the poem. Very good.
Good job.
All right, what else you got?
Blah, 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 the center cannot hold is Yeats, and the first line is, turning and turning in the widening gyre.
Yes, the second
Falcon
coming.
Cannot hear the falconeer.
Oh, good.
Someone already got Hollow Men. Okay,
yes.
So I am going to guess that Into the Woods may have been originally conceived around cartoon characters.
No.
Well, that's what I would have made it
about. Yeah, I know.
Not a bad idea, given that it was fairy tales.
Oh, I wanted to affirm before time runs out that I don't know the answer about Woodstock and Altamont, but I'll guess the Birds.
No. Not the Birds.
Well, the Grateful Dead definitely did not go on at Altamont.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
If you see the movie Gimme Shelter, they show up and the airplane have been beaten up by the Hells Angels. And they beat us up. And the Dead goes, they're beating up on musicians, man.
Oh.
And then Jerry Garcia goes, bummer.
All right, I'm sorry, we have to run because we're almost out of time. Thank you very much. Okay, time to clean up.
Okay, the married couple that performed was Janet Leigh and Tony Curtis doing impressions of Burns and Allen.
Okay.
The best actor who got a writing credit was Laurence Olivier, which I think is quite remarkable. Stephen Sondheim wanted situation comedy characters like Ralph and Alice Cramden and a few others to be in a car accident where they'd meet cops like T.J. Hooker and Joe Friday and taken to a hospital for Dr. Kildare. It was Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young and Santana that were in both concerts. I'll hold over the two poetry questions to next week when I'll be back.
We have
two out there.
The famous author had the same name as his same first name as his wife, Evelyn Waugh. And the four people in the cast of the best pictures, How Green Is My Valley, Walter Pidgeon, Maureen O'Hara, Donald Crisp, Anna Lee, Life of Emile Zola, I got that. Last Weekend, Ray Milland, Jane Wyman, Howard Da Silva, Doris Dowling, All the King's Men, Broderick Crawford, John Ireland, Joanne Drew, and John Derrick. The four oldest words according to the OED, please, I never want to hear this question again. The number two, number three, the number five. So if we didn't get your call, we do apologize.
Not please one, remember huh?
That Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was Lori Fisher. Yeah, thank you very much, Lori. You'll be back next week. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. So thanks to Steve Wilcott and Debbie Kenny for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody.
Ooh.
Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.